Is your website pretty? Does it work right? Can people find it? If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, a man who paid me to not tell you he reads the dictionary in his spare time, but obviously didn't pay me enough. From Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
And welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast. I'm Mark Boyd, glad to be here with you again. And we're going right to a question from a listener. This listener, actually, I ran into at a networking event, asked a question that he was kind of embarrassed to ask, but it has to do with AdWords. Nobody better to answer a question about AdWords than our favorite PPC guy, our go-to PPC guy.
He's got the 411 on your ROI from your PPC. OMG, it's Fabio.
Fabio, thanks for coming in on the podcast this week.
My pleasure, Mark.
This one, it's a pretty basic question, but it's pretty broad too, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. It's from Mike B. in Lancaster, and he says, I'm almost embarrassed to ask this. How exactly does Google AdWords work? I know I need to do it, but I don't know what I'm doing. Help. What he also told me was he's looking for just advice for somebody who's never gotten into AdWords before, doesn't know what he's doing. He's like, what's the basics of what a guy like me needs to know?
I'm going to answer the question, obviously, using some basic terms, just so that people could understand in general what a PPC campaign is. But also, Mike, there's no need to feel embarrassed. The reality is that PPC is fairly complex. And so, generally speaking, a PPC campaign is when you bid on certain keywords. Well, first of all, you got to create an account within Google, an AdWords account, and then you got to set up your campaign and create an ad group or ad groups, and then you select your keywords, you create your ads, and you select your landing page. So when people click on the ad, they go to a specific page on your website. So generally speaking, you set bids on keywords, and when people go to Google or their search partners and type in this keyword, there are chances that your ad will show up. And once they see your ad, then they click on it and land on your page. Now, in AdWords, when you choose a bid, let's say for example that you choose a dollar, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will be paying a dollar per click, because Google uses a certain algorithm to decide where you'll be placed, the relevancy of the keyword and the ad group and so on and so forth, and then will charge you a certain amount per click, not necessarily a dollar, it could be less. So that's it, generally speaking. You bid on keywords, people see your ad and they land on your landing page on your website. Now, a campaign, for example, when selecting, you know, when I've gone into accounts, I've seen the same mistakes pretty much from novices, the same mistake that's common. And the mistake is basically that, you know, a person's going to create a campaign and then, you know, create one ad group, place most of their keywords in that one ad group and have just a couple of ads running. And so, you know, each campaign has certain settings. So, you know, a geographic targeting. So geo-targeting, for example, there's your mobile, your devices, if you want to target mobile or not. And then the keywords, basically most of them are usually, or all of them are set to broad match. Now, broad match is a setting within AdWords. And in this setting, basically what you're telling Google is that you want your ad to show up when this particular keyword is searched for. But when the broad match setting is selected, which actually Google selects for you, what ends up happening is that Google will use synonyms and words that are related to the keyword that you chose. And so they could use, for example, your keyword in all kinds of different variations. And a lot of times in broad match, what ends up happening is that your people could be clicking on your ad. It may not necessarily be relevant. So, for example, let's say you're selling, wireless dog fences, right? So you have your dog, and you want to be able to, you want to make sure that they don't go out a certain perimeter. So you're bidding, you know, a company's going to go out and bid on, you know, wireless dog fences. Well, if that's set to broad match, what ends up happening is that if somebody searches for pet fences, or somebody searches, for example, electric fence, your ad may come up also, even though it's not necessarily, you know, for dogs. Because an electric fence could be used, you know, for farmers. You know, they don't want their cattle to get outside of a certain perimeter, so they want electric fence.
Yep.
And so even though, for example, you're using certain keywords, Google will associate your ad with keywords that are related somehow to the keywords that were selected.
Okay, so basically, Fabio, at the end of the day, what does, for lack of a better word, and really it probably is the best word, what advice do you have for a novice? You know, that person who probably knows that they don't have the budget to pay somebody to do their PPC, but they want to give it a shot, but they want to at least kind of know what they're doing. What advice would you have for that person?
Well, that's a great question, Mark. Really not an easy one to answer. Ultimately, it comes down to one thing, which is education. A person needs to dive deep into AdWords and analytics, because they go hand in hand, to try to understand how it works and how to actually be able to get a return on their investment. Generally speaking, for example, when a novice begins a campaign, because Google obviously is very smart, and they made AdWords extremely simple for anybody to go in and start up a campaign. Mm-hmm. And so basically so a person goes in, sets up their campaign, creates their ad groups, puts in their keywords and off they go. And so, before diving into AdWords or any PPC campaign, a person should take the time to study it a little bit, and then obviously set a small amount of money per month for the campaign for testing purposes. Because, if an individual is going to put in money initially, that money should be invested in trying to understand how AdWords works. Because they're not going to get a return on their investment, guaranteed. Sure. You know, so for example, I'm AdWords certified. I've been doing this for many years, and it takes me, for example, with brand new campaigns, it could take me 3 to 6 months before making a campaign profitable when it comes to e-commerce.
Yeah,
because you know we have to understand the amount of profit there is per, you know, the margin on the products, and being able to pull out the ROI statistics data from analytics and, you know, come to an understanding if the campaign itself is actually profitable. The initial part of their campaign, which, you know, could be, you know, depending on how much time a person is willing to invest in learning about AdWords and analytics, the first, you know, 6 months should be towards education. So if they could set aside, you know, whatever budget that they're willing to invest in, because ultimately that's what it is. It's the education part. And so if you're putting in $200, $300, $500 a month into an AdWords campaign, you know, they should understand that they're going to lose that money in terms of return on investment. But ultimately, sure, they're educating themselves. So that education is what's going to help them get the return on investment later on when they're ready to actually set up their campaign properly.
That's huge, because you're telling them right off the bat, you know, you have to expect to lose this money in the early going.
Absolutely, because any brand new campaign, you see, a lot of times what ends up happening is people, they come from like marketing on the internet has been around now for a while, maybe a couple of decades now, but the reality is that like 4 or 5 years ago, PPC was around. But, you know, everybody relied heavily on SEO. That's how people grew their businesses.
Yep.
So today, for example, we're transitioning, and marketing is a completely different. It's very different than it was before. We have the social networks, and, you know, Google pretty much is, you know, everybody relies on Google.
So, Fabio, you're making a statement, and I love that you made this statement, because it's something that people don't want to hear, but they need to hear. You're not going to get that money back. you know, down the line you can recoup it, but you have to stick with it in order to recoup it.
Exactly. A novice should consider at least 6 months of education. Because, you know, even though you go through the documentation, even if an individual decides to get AdWords certified and goes through the Google certification process so they can get a deeper understanding of AdWords, there's a certain reality is that, you know, on the field, so, you know, you can understand it in theory.
Yep.
And but when you're there and you're in the field, for example, and what I mean by in the field, you actually have a live campaign trying to get results. There's a certain strategy that one needs to implement.
And sure.
The strategy itself comes from a person's imagination. You know, so basically looking at a certain particular situation, asking themselves the question, you know, why isn't this working? And how do you go about implementing a strategy, you know, of progress? So that part, you know, it comes from experience. And also comes from being, you know, from the imagination, because a person needs to be creative and come up with different ways and so on and so forth. So even though a person invests their time in educating themselves through the documentation, and then at the same time they go through the process of creating their campaign and making it go live, it'll take the time that it takes for the person to actually come to an understanding
sure.
of what it takes, you know, to make a campaign work.
Yeah, because you can research it to death, but until you get your hands dirty, you're not really going to know the answers to your questions, because it's different in every case. And I think it was great that you pointed that out.
It's a continual learning process. So start off by understanding that there's a process, educate yourself, set aside the money that you put in every single month, know that it'll be for education purposes. As you move forward in your campaign and you get a better understanding of AdWords and analytics, you'll be able to read the numbers and then make better decisions based on those numbers.
Chicks dig dudes with algorithmic integrity, and dudes dig chicks with social semantics, if you get my drift. Can you feel the cyber love? We'll be right back after these messages.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDnD.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
All right. We're back with the Mind Your Business podcast, and we've got a great question that was asked to us on Facebook this week. I'll go ahead and say the gentleman's name, Jason Hoover, because you can see it on our Facebook page there. And Jason asks, really, the basis of his question is, how big of a small business, how much volume makes a website worthwhile? And this is a question for Mind's internet marketing strategist. He has a master's in internet marketing, incidentally. The guy is just a wealth of knowledge. Chris Bradley, I'd like to welcome you to the podcast. Chris is going to answer this question for Jason. And Chris, it's great to have you on here, man.
It's great to be here, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Jason's question is, how big of a small business, how much volume makes the website worthwhile? I'm just starting out with a calligraphy art studio and doing okay with a Facebook page and word of mouth through family and friends, but I'm afraid that can dry up. I want friends of friends and strangers too. I don't want to be just okay. I'd love to do this full time. Yeah, I guess the first question, Chris, it's one of those questions that is pretty open-ended, and yet it's a question that most small business owners have. Very basically, how do you determine that point in your business where a website investment is feasible?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mark. I would say the first question for him to ask himself is, how profitable do you need to be to justify a $1,000+ investment in your business? You'd be surprised at how affordable a website investment is today. For instance, at Mind, we have what we call the out of sight, which you can learn more about by visiting our website. Another good question to ask yourself is, are your current customers and prospective customers online? I think you'll find that easy to answer. Of course they're online. So a website investment is an important part of your business. I can't stress that enough. A quick stat, Mark, that came out about a year ago, Google says that 97% of Americans look online for local products and services. 58% of America's small businesses, 56% in Pennsylvania, do not have a website or online presence. These businesses are, you know, they're virtually invisible to many of their potential customers. The other thing I wanted to say was, now that we've determined that your prospective customers are online, your website now becomes the first impression of your business. You need to give your visitors the same customer experience that they get when they talk to you in person, when they walk into your storefront location, or when they meet with one of your salespeople.
You know, Chris, you used two words there that I'm so glad you used, because it is so, so damn true, and people forget about this. And those two words were first impression.
Mm-hmm.
People see you online, they draw a conclusion about you within seconds of getting to your site, and it only takes them another second, another click of the mouse to be over at your competitor's site if they don't like what they see.
Exactly. I like to use the analogy, if you're a retail location, you actually have a physical storefront, would you let the sign, like the light bulb and the sign, go out? Would you let the store become unorganized, kind of dirty? Would you not clean it for a while? Or would you let your salesperson go out and talk to prospective clients, but only really know about 40% of what he's supposed to know, you know, only be able to answer about 40% of their questions? Well, no, of course you wouldn't. So why do you let your website do that? Like, why does the website lack content? Like, why does it give that person, you know, 40% of what you want them to know about your business? And why is it cluttered and unorganized? And it's hard for me to navigate as a consumer and find what I'm looking for. It's kind of sometimes hard for me to understand where business owners, why they can't understand that the online presence is just as important as that presence that they have in their physical storefront.
True. And I would think in most of those cases, if you go to their physical storefront and actually go in, you're going to see a much better first impression.
Exactly. The customer experience in person just seems to be a lot better than online. But we want to make people understand that this website investment is part of that first impression. It's a very important part of that first impression. Another quick thing I just want to mention, Mark, is with the website investment, you also get the optimized presence on mobile devices. And that's important too, especially with local businesses where local search is being done on the mobile devices. And a lot of times people are converting through a phone call or through a map, you know, finding directions to their physical location. That mobile presence is extremely important.
Mind your business.
So, Chris, in terms of, you know, a business like his that does not have a website yet, wants to have a website and recognizes the importance of it, what can a business owner like this do with the resources that he or she has to build their business up to the point where, you know, the website is feasible for them?
Yeah, social media is an important part of your internet marketing plan. Obviously, you're getting your website, like this particular person asked about, is your first priority and making sure that website's good. But you can use social media to push more traffic back to the website, to talk more about your business. But one thing that I wanted to just mention today, since we're on the topic of social media, and it's something important for all business owners who are just getting into the realm of social media to understand. Earlier this year, at the Social Media at Work event in Harrisburg, Zuckerberg. Well, one of my favorite social media influencers, his name is Mark Schaefer, closed a keynote with something that is, it's worth repeating, I think. He talked about how businesses need to be more human in this technological age. And this applies to both B2B and B2C. And he likes to use the term P2P, and that kind of eliminates the business to business, business to consumer. It's person to person. When we are human, our customers enjoy doing business with us. That's just a fact that we all know. We still do business with people that we know. You know, being human leads to awareness. Awareness leads to trust, and trust leads to loyalty. And basically, Mark, loyalty trumps everything.
It does.
You know, an example, you know, share a do-it-yourself and other information that differentiates you from your customers on social media. You know, there are no trade secrets. People can find the right way and the wrong way to do things by a simple web search. You know, you're not giving away any secret sauce, more than likely. People want to trust you so that they don't have to do it themselves. It's a service or a resource that they can clearly see that you can help them with. You know, be an expert in your area, and you can use social media to show that.
Well, you know, you're talking about loyalty and trust there too. I think it's real interesting in this aspect that most businesses, if you're a small business owner, you will look at jobs that perhaps you didn't get, or you'll look at jobs that a competitor that maybe you don't think is quite up to par. Mm-hmm. You look at a job that they get and think, how in the hell did they get that job?
Yeah.
I could have done a better job than that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note trust and loyalty in that respect, because, you know, ultimately it's how good of an impression do you leave when you have your opportunity to tell these people what you can do. But beyond that, especially in this realm, people are scared of change.
Yes.
And I think you know as well as I do that most people, although most people probably don't want to admit it, but most people will continue to do business with somebody they're not 100% satisfied with, if only because nobody else that they interviewed gave them any inkling that they were going to do any better for them. What are some things that he could do with his social media? What would you suggest that, you know, that a small business owner focus on as far as, you know, what the hell do I post about?
I think it's good to have a mixture. I mean, social media is like a big cocktail party, Mark. You know this.
Never thought of it like that before, but
it is. I mean, it really is. You wouldn't walk up to somebody at the party and then say, "Hey, you know, I'm Chris Bradley. We have 20% off our mattresses." You know, you wouldn't do that.
I don't know. Some people might dig that, Chris.
Yeah, that's true.
See, you never know who might be. You know, I've been dying to meet somebody who has 20% off their mattresses.
Well, and I've been at a few mixers, chamber mixers, where it's been like that. But you know the idea. It's like if that happens, you look at them and you're like, whoa. You know, so you don't do that when you're in a face-to-face conversation. So why would you do it on social media? But, you know, don't get me wrong. People connect with you on social media because they want to know when you're having the next sale or when you're having your customer appreciation days where, you know, you might have a pig roast, and they look forward to it every year. That's why they connect with you. I just say, just make sure that you find that happy medium between being human while also communicating news about your business. Your voice, your tone online is very important. Basically, your voice is your brand personality. It's basically described in an adjective. For instance, brands can be lively, they can be positive, they could be cynical, or they could be professional. And your tone is a subset of your brand's voice. I mean, tone adds a specific flavor to your voice based on factors like your audience, your situation, and your channel. Essentially, there is one voice for your brand, eight tones that refine that voice. And I realize I threw that out there, it could be a little confusing, but there isn't. I wanted to throw it out there so everybody understood it's very important that you find a voice when you're on social media, because as you do that, then you begin to really define who you are and how social you are with your audience, which are also your customers and your prospective customers.
Well, Chris, thank you again for coming on the podcast today and for answering Jason's question. Great to have you on here, and I'm sure we're going to have you back because the questions are coming in, and I'm sure there's going to be something right up your alley again. So I'll look forward to I look forward to having you on again, brother.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. This has been fun.
And on behalf of the Minds That Mind, thank you for tuning in to this week's Mind Your Business podcast.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.